Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Silver, typifying the redeeming Christ as our Savior. Silver is not only meaningful for our redemption, it also typifies the very Christ that we are to experience and then to offer to God as a heave offering. We'll see this in a very deep and meaningful message on today's life study of Exodus. And here again to help us through this marvelous portion is Bob Danker. Good to have you back, Bob.
It's very good to be back with you again, Chris.
Bob, this particular stretch, I would say, of messages that we've been covering in the latter portions of Exodus now, they all seem to be very deep and full of a lot of meaning. It's the kind of passage in Scripture where we really need an experienced guide to help us through. And I think as you and I and the others that participate in these programs realize, we had such a guide among us for many years, didn't we?
We certainly did, Chris. What a privilege that it is to be under this ministry that gives us this kind of help to enter into the experience of these seemingly outward and physical things, but actually they have deep spiritual significance.
Right, and we've been seeing that significance borne out in program after program on these aspects of the tabernacle, the offerings, the priesthood, the garments. It just seems like, as you said, there seem to be so many details that some might consider or we might have considered prior, just minutiae, and not seeing how rich and full of meaning it is. But today we come to a new topic, and that's in Exodus again, chapter 30, beginning at verse 11, this matter of propitiation silver. We had some programs dealing with propitiation, the propitiatory cover, or the expiation cover, as it's spoken of in the recovery version. That's the cover over the ark. Here's another reference to propitiation, this time the propitiation silver, which we see today. It was a kind of a ransom paid only by the mature males of the children of Israel. So let me read a couple of these verses to kind of give us a context in which we can attack this rich, rich, significant meaning today to all these items. In verse 11, "And Jehovah spoke to Moses, saying, when you take the sum of the children of Israel, according to those of them who are numbered, then every man shall give a ransom for himself to Jehovah. This they shall give, half a shekel as a heave offering to Jehovah. Everyone enrolled with those who are numbered from 20 years old and over shall give the heave offering of Jehovah." Bob, this program today, I think, and portions we're about to hear, will not only supply us marvelously with the significance of all these things, but I think also in our program today, there's a lesson on how this servant of the Lord, Witness Lee, who in a very real sense was trained by Watchman Nee, his mentor, co-laboring one who was a bit older and whom he respected so much, but a lesson on how a person like that studied the Bible. We'll see as we get into this first section. He's going to identify 5 questions that he saw reading this passage of Scripture, and then as he searched out the answer to these 5 questions, I think the whole picture came into view. So maybe even a lesson on how to study the Bible today, Bob.
Absolutely, Chris.
All right, here's Witness Lee.
This item, propitiation silver, is altogether not simple. Number one, we have to find out what is the reason to put this item right after the incense altar. And number two, we have to find out why at this juncture they needed the ransom or the propitiation silver. Don't forget, Christ's life has 3 basic elements. One is of the animal life, the other is of the vegetable life, and the third one is of the minerals. Christ is the lamb, and this is of the animal life, and Christ is the wheat, This is of the best belief, and Christ is the precious stone. And he's also the gold, and he's also the silver. All these are of the minerals. And here, the redemption of the ransom is not by the blood of the animal life, but by some material of the mineral. And now, number three, why this propitiation silver is called heave offering? Number four, why? Here, the ransom is only for those males and only for those who are up to 20 and upward. Now, number five, this propitiation silver, this ransom price was paid only for the males who were up to 20 years of age and upward. And the number was 603,550. Forming the army, forming the host, these were those who were able to go to war. Taking a bird's eye view, you look at the situation, you understand, this is not the ransom for the common people. Not the ransom from everybody, like the Passover lamb. In Egypt, every family, including every member, they all got redeemed. But here, a lot of exclusions. Moses excluded everyone who was a female. And he excluded everyone who was under 20. He only counted those who are able to go to war. This is for drafting, for forming the army, to have many hosts. And they needed to be formed into camps and into hosts. That means into armies. So this is the ransom not for the common people. This is the ransom for the army. Okay, here is the tabernacle. You please tell me, the whole thing is for what? For expressing God. This is for God's expression. Let me check with you. The book on the church as the fullness of the triune God. That means church as the expression of God. And this book is what book? Ephesians. What is the last chapter of Ephesians? On spiritual warfare. The entire church has to be warrior to fight the enemy. Now, the enemies are here. A lot of evil powers in the sky. The church has to fight.
Well, Bob, he identified in summary fashion here near the end these five questions, which let me just also summarize them just once again. Number one, of course, the relationship between the incense altar and the propitiation silver. I think we covered that. But then why did Israel need a ransom, the propitiation silver, after being redeemed out of Egypt by the blood? That's really a worthwhile question, which I think I'm going to hand to you in just a moment, along with some other things. Then number three, why was it called a heave offering? What's the significance of the heave offering here? Number four, why after redemption by the blood in Egypt was redemption portrayed by silver at Mount Sinai? And number five, what's the significance, Bob, that it was only for the males that were 20 years old and over? These five questions bring us to a particular point. So I'm just going to let you in any order, in any degree, develop these points to bring us to really the focus of what we want to see today.
Yes, Chris, I think you've pointed out by these five questions, which Brother Lee asked himself as he was studying this portion, very significant questions. Why does Israel need a ransom by silver when they've already experienced a redemption by blood?
Yeah.
Well, this part of the word is speaking about something that's very different from what we have seen earlier in Exodus, where you have the redemption of the entire nation of Israel through the Passover lamb by the shedding of its blood. Here, we are not talking about that. That was accomplished already, and that points to Christ's accomplished redemption. There's no need to repeat that.
Right.
But here we have a situation in which God's people are going to be numbered, and they're going to be numbered in a very particular way. And the way is that only the males who are 20 years old and upward are going to be counted. And in Exodus, we don't see the reason for that. But when we go to Numbers, we find out that these more than 600,000 men were to be the soldiers in the army. They were going to fight the warfare against the enemies to enter into the good land, to enable the people to pass through the wilderness, defeat all the pagan tribes who represent the spiritual enemies of God, these pagan tribes. Israel had to defeat them. There had to be an army. So this propitiation silver is for the formation of the army. It's not for a general redemption, as was by the blood experienced in Egypt. And also, it was a heave offering. Heaving means you throw it up in the air. And it is a picture of Christ in ascension. And this means that in order for us to fight the battle in the spiritual warfare, we have to be one with Christ in his ascension. We cannot fight if we are in a position, so to speak, on the earth, because the enemy that we're fighting against is not blood and flesh on the earth. It is the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenlies. So we need to be above them. We need to be in ascension to have a position that will give us the victory. We need to be in Christ, in his ascension, and in the victory that he has already won and is now displaying in his ascension. Anyway, this is why it's a heave offering. So this is altogether related to the need for an army to fight the battle, to fight against God's enemies so that God could bring his people into the land, and through that they would build him a solid dwelling place, a temple on the earth for him to dwell and for him to express himself.
That's a wonderful overview, Bob. And today, you know, that we kind of have a quick overview of the whole message. And then in that overview, we come to what is the focus. That's the formation of this army. In the next two sections, I think we'll see just some development that will really help fill in the blanks. But Bob, as we see in every one of these programs, especially in this life study of Exodus with the tabernacle and all these aspects, we're not just studying the history of the children of Israel. We're studying our own history in advance, because the tabernacle typifies the church. The children of Israel typify the New Testament believers, the constituents of the church. And so for us, we're getting a window into coming attractions, I guess we could say.
That's right, Chris.
All right, let's go back to Witness Lee and see how the children of Israel were really formed into this army.
For the children of Israel to express God, they need what? To come to the altar, to confess their sins, to make a thorough confession of what they are. They have sinned within, and they have trespasses without. They need to offer the sin offering and the trespass offering. The blood of the sin offering, of the trespass offering, opens the way. Firstly, the blood shed here brings them into the tabernacle, firstly, to the enjoyment of Christ as their life supply. They should no longer live by themselves. They should only live by Christ as their life and as their life supply. Forget about good behavior. Forget about good conduct, good character. Forget about that. God doesn't care for that. God only cares for Christ. How much Christ you have enjoyed. Firstly, you need Christ as your life supply, and fallingly, you need Christ as your light, as your enlightenment. And from here, you go to the ark. And in between, there is a veil. And this veil should be broken. Otherwise, you couldn't enter into the Holy Holies to reach the ark And what is the veil? The veil is just a natural being. And that is the self, that is the flesh, and that is the real veil between you and God. This has to be riven. This has to be broken. Okay? Now you are at the ark. Aha. Christ now is your testimony. Then you are qualified to turn to the incense altar, and this should be your destiny and your destination. You just should be here to do what? To pray. Not to pray for your interest, not to pray for yourself, but to pray for God's move, to pray for God's interest. And this kind of prayer for God's move and for God's interest is interceding. Now, the chosen people, they got through all this and they arrived at this destination to intercede for God. For God to do what? For God to move. This tabernacle, this is God now. This entire thing is God embodied in his chosen people. For what? God has to move on this earth.
Well, Bob, what we're seeing is that the church, typified by the nation, the children of Israel, has these two momentous aspects that have been commissioned to it by God. The first, of course, is the church becomes his expression on the earth. As the body of Christ, we express him. But there's this second aspect, the laboring with him together in such a way that his move can be administered, carried out on the earth. And we just saw a tremendous progression here, which is really the whole story of the tabernacle, that first we have to be cleansed from our sins. So we need that initial offering before we even enter into the holy place. Then, of course, we need the nourishment, the strengthening from within, typified by the showbread, the bread of the presence on the table, and then the lampstand to enlighten. But those are, while absolutely crucial and necessary, those are not the goal, are they?
That's right. As you mentioned, there are two aspects of what we, the Church of God, must be for God. The first aspect is that we must be his corporate expression. God wants to fill us with himself, to bring us into him, and to bring himself into us until we and God are mingled together to be one entity, so that we become God's expression. God is our inward life, and we are his outward expression. This
right.
is a very, very crucial aspect of what the church should be. And here we see, as Witness Lee described for us, how we become God's expression. And that is, as you pointed out, we experience Christ, who is typified by the tabernacle and all the furnishings and utensils and so forth, all these different elements of the tabernacle. At the altar, in the outer court, our sin and our sins are dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, as long as we have sin and sins, we are not God's expression, and we can't fight for God. You know, as we enter into the holy place, we eat Christ as the bread of the presence, and this enables us to live by him and not by our old natural life. This helps us to be God's expression. Then we turn to the lampstand, and we're enlightened by Christ as the light of life. The way we look at things changes, and we see what God sees. We see all the aspects of what Christ are to us. And then we enter into the Holy of Holies by experiencing the breaking of the flesh, which is our entire natural being, our self and our old man, old creation. Whatever we are in ourselves, good or bad, is just a veil that keeps us from enjoying Christ. And what is Christ? Christ is God's testimony. So when we enjoy Christ as God's testimony, this Christ becomes our testimony because we are incorporated with this one. And we become the testimony and the expression of God. We become no longer natural persons. We become those who are members of the corporate Christ. We're parts of the corporate Christ. And then we're qualified to go to the incense altar to pray, to intercede for God's interest and God's move on the earth. And God's move on the earth requires fighting. It requires the church to fulfill another of its functions, and that is to engage God's enemy, Satan, and all the powers of darkness in spiritual warfare. This is nothing physical. Mm-hmm. It's spiritual, because the enemies are not human beings of flesh and blood, as Paul points out. They are the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenlies. And we need to fight this warfare to deal with God's enemy as the opposing party. There's an opposer in this universe that is trying to hinder us from fulfilling God's purpose and hinder God from gaining what he wants.
Bob, that brings us to really the focus of the whole program, which is the development of this aspect of the fighting. Surely the children of Israel were confronted with major enemies when they were in Egypt, the Egyptians themselves, and then Pharaoh, the enemy of enemies, and God dealt with those. But once they got to even into the wilderness, there were more enemies, and in reality, the real fighting was once they entered into the good land, the land that had to be possessed inch by inch by fighting. This is our destiny as the church. We have to be equipped to fight, and that's what we're going to touch in this last portion.
God has to move on this earth, but God has a lot of enemies, too many enemies. The Egyptians were God's enemies. The Amorites were God's enemies. The Ishmaelites were not God's enemies. You read your Old Testament. From Egypt to Canaan, everywhere, the people were just God's enemies. Who is our God today? Even you and your family are God's enemies. God doesn't have the freedom to move. God moved this way. The Amorites say, no thoroughfare, no way. Then God turned this way. The Ishmaelites, no way. Then God turned to Canaanites. They closed the door. And what shall God do? Fight. You have to kill all the Amorites. You shouldn't have any mercy upon the Canaanites. Slaughter them. Fight. Now you can see in the book of Ephesians, there is such a tabernacle. The fullness of God. Unto the fullness of God. What is the fullness of God? That is the tabernacle. The very embodiment of the triune God in his chosen people. Eventually, these people become what? Become a warrior. Fight. Not against flesh and blood, but against the powers, the principalities in the air, the power of the darkness, the power of the evil in the sky. Firstly, there was such a need to have such an embodiment. God's chosen people went through all these experiences until they reached at the incense altar to pray. To pray for what? For the formation of the hosts of Jehovah. To pray for the formation of the armies of God, to fight the way for God to go on.
Bob, we've had so much to cover today. Our time is short, which is unfortunate, but let's just focus right here. He brought us to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, which in a sense is kind of the New Testament equivalent of all that we've been seeing in these messages in Exodus. The book of Ephesians, many Bible scholars recognize it as perhaps the highest book in the New Testament, and I think we probably would agree with that, although that's a subjective question. But certainly, it brings us through all the aspects of our experience. But the goal, the end, the conclusion, the consummation of Ephesians is the church, not just as his bride and his corporate expression, but as his warrior, isn't it?
That's right, Chris. There is the need and the aspect of the church to be a warrior, a one who wars against God's enemies. Now, I would like to point out here that fighting the spiritual warfare is not a matter for individuals. Mm. It is altogether not a matter for me as an individual to fight against the enemies. It's a matter of the church.
Right.
Together, The church is God's warrior. So the way to defeat the enemies of God is not to fight personally and individualistically against them, but to be in the church and to be one with the church, to move with God in and through the church, because the church is the real dwelling place of God, just as the tabernacle was in the Old Testament. God is moving. He was moving then, and he's moving now in and through the church to fulfill God's purpose. To gain what God wants, there is a great need for spiritual warfare, and this can be fought only in the church.
Bob, thanks for your help, and as always, I hope you'll come back soon. We love having you in the studio with us, Bob. Well, our time is up. For Bob Danker, I'm Chris Wild. Thanks so much for listening today.